Well, good morning. The last song that the praise and worship team sang, Ransomed by the Blood, fits so well in today's reading. And it's Paul writing to the church at Galatia. But that was his whole message. His whole message was this thing of grace brought by Jesus' blood as opposed to the works of the law. And he would go and he would preach and he would preach and he would teach. And then he'd get news and he'd have to start writing letters. And sometimes he actually had to visit. But today, if you would, please stand for the reading of the word, beginning Galatians chapter 2, verse 15. We who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law no one will be justified. But if, in seeking to be justified in Christ, we Jews find ourselves also among the sinners, doesn't that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, then I really would be a lawbreaker. For through the law I died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word.
One of the reasons this letter was written to the book people of Galatia was because he had taught the church and that it was all about Christ and it was by Christ alone. But then people got into the church, agitators got into the church, and they started to change that. And they were trying to tell people it's not based upon Christ alone, but it also matters that you also fulfill this law. And you can't do it both ways, because here's the issue. With this particular passage, it lays it out really clearly, is that it's not by your effort that you're acceptable to Christ, it is by the degree in which you die to your old self. And so he talks about this. The scripture I want to really pull out of here today is this. He says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. You know, normally when we talk about crucifixion, we talk about it in the context of what Jesus did. But there's also another crucifixion that happens in the lives of people where we say we choose to crucify the old self. And the reason I think Paul uses this whole idea of crucifixion again is because dying to the old self isn't easy. I mean, there are some things that we did, maybe some things that we continue to do, that are hard to put down. You know, it's like we have one foot in salvation and one foot in Christ, and then the other in this old person that we used to be. And it can't be both ways. At some point, you have to crucify it. And something happens when you take the sin and the old lifestyle and the old person and you actually like nail it to the cross. That old person's not coming back off again. But generally, when we try to lose the old self, we do it very passively. As a matter of fact, sometimes we don't really lose it at all. That, you know, we accept Christ into our life. We will confess with our mouths and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins and was resurrected. But then we also have this part of us that's really not done with the old person we used to be. And so there's little pieces of things that hang on. You know, it's like at some point we have to say that I choose to die to those things. But the thing is, it's not easy, because those things hang on like a hair in a biscuit. There's an old Southern statement for you. Yeah. Did I say that right, Jeremy? Okay. Yeah, it's like, and you're like, that's gross. But anyway, you get the idea, right? The old things hang on. It's like you can't, it's not easy to get rid of them until you actually nail them on, but people don't want to nail them on. They're like, you know, God, just please take it from me because I can't seem to let go. And to be honest, I prayed those prayers. Just take it from me. But I'm hanging on right here. You know what I mean? But take it from me, please. You know, peel my fingers off of that thing. You know what I mean? And it's like God says, look, I just want you to give it up for me. I want you to let it go for the sake of your relationship with me. You know, and it's like, you know, I know when people have addictions and they're leaving that behind, and there have been some people in this congregation who have left some major addictions behind, and it wasn't easy. They had withdrawals from those things. That when they left them behind, it's like the body was crying out, I want this. The mind's crying out, I want this. Isn't that the issue with sin? It's the same exact thing. That like inside we want all that stuff, and our body's crying out, our mind's crying out for all that stuff, but at some point you got to nail it on there and go, you're not coming back off of that again. Like, I choose to crucify that. I'm not just kind of giving it up for a day, I'm crucifying it. And when you do that, it really, really changes things. You know, I know that for a lot of us, that we have our lives right in a lot of ways, but there are some things that if we were to be honest about, we don't want to let go of them because we would have withdrawals. We would have withdrawals. We have things that we like to hang on to, things we can't seem to stop because it just become a way of life. But this whole idea of crucifying, being crucified with Christ is like when you crucify yourself with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, then Jesus becomes the navigator of my life. And he begins to direct the places I go. And he still gives me free will to do whatever I want to do. So I'm still in the driver's seat. But he's saying, this is where I want you to go, and this is how I want you to get there, and I want you to leave this behind, and I want you to pick this up. And he's constantly navigating and talking to me through the power of his Holy Spirit is to where he wants me to go. And you know, there's such a beautiful thing that when I choose to choose that life, and I say, God, I want you to be the one who directs and navigates my life, then I'm no longer under the penalty of the law. It's not about all the things I do anymore. That's not what makes me righteous. And it doesn't mean that we can't do those things. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't honor those things. But here's the thing. It is not by that you get to heaven. It is not by that that you're righteous. It is only through Jesus Christ. But if you're going to say that Jesus Christ is Lord of your life, then crucify the rest of the stuff because it's getting in the way. At some point, we have to leave it all behind and say, I choose to not look like the culture. I just choose to look like Jesus. And so we're no longer under the penalty of the law anymore. We actually experience freedom. Because once you don't have to maintain the law and it's not through those things anymore, you finally have peace because Jesus is working things out in your heart and he's changing the way that you are. You finally have relief and you finally have hope that, you know what, things are going to change in my life. You know, just doing the right stuff and trying to somehow honor the law, which you'll never do, by the way, but continuing to try to do that, that leads to a lot of things. It leads to things like, I think that I'm the one who's making my life happen. You know, I don't want to live like that. I don't want to think that because of my good behavior that somehow I have my life in order and I'm okay before God, because I'll never be okay before God because of that. It is only through Christ. You know, there's got to be this thing about my life that, you know, like when I was born, you know, it's like God gave me life, and then we all grew up, and we all became whatever we became in this life, and some of us took some really weird turns, and some of us didn't, and we all got into different places, but then we have this life that we decide that at some point we're giving it back to Jesus, and so what happens in that whole process is that a lot of the things that grew in my life and the things that I allowed to bloom needed to be cut off because they weren't of him. You know, things that were in my life, things that really marked who I was. If I were to stand before God, this is what I'm all about. He's like, well, let's cut that off, and let's cut that off. Because I didn't build that. You did. You know, and I think that when I look back over my life, I see so many things that I built. I see things that people have built in their lives that really need to come off of there. They need to get cut off. And Jesus said, that's got to go. But we just kind of hang on to that stuff. You know, I had this really big hydrangea. You guys know what a hydrangea is? They have the big puffy blossoms, and they come in different colors depending on the pH. We had this really big one next to our garage. And every year when it hit fall and wintertime, it would die, and it would just be a bunch of dead stuff. And you cut it all the way off at the ground. And the springtime was amazing because, you know, to the degree in which you cut it all the way down to the ground, the bigger it came out, you know, in the spring. And it's really kind of a picture of what it's like to crucify yourself with Christ, is that we cut all that stuff off, and it's like, God, everything that I built and everything I thought was important, I cut all that stuff off because I want to have new growth. You know, it says that we've become a new creation. The old is gone, as new is here. Is there anybody who wants anything left of the old person? Well, then why don't we just cut all that stuff off and start from scratch? I mean, you know, it makes sense that we would just kind of like cut that stuff off and say, God, you grow it now. You make it grow the way you want it to. You build the things in my life that you want built. You know, I don't know what your life was like prior to Jesus, but I can only imagine the things that we let grow and the things that we built that had nothing to do with Jesus. When you look back over, what do you see? Do you see things built that you're not really very proud of? Because I do. And I look back over that stuff, and there were things that as I was following the Lord and growing in Him that I didn't let go, I held on to. And it's like I wanted to be like Christ, but then I had this other part of me that was still back in the world, and I wasn't willing to really change the things that needed to be changed because I knew there were withdrawals that came with that. Because it didn't feel good. You know, letting go of the old person and the things you got used to, letting go of that stuff doesn't feel good for a time. I mean, it's painful. But at some point, we have to say, I choose the new to replace the old. You know, when we allow ourselves to be crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, then I become a new creation. You know, God creates new things from the pieces of my life. Anybody have any pieces of your life? Sometimes things shatter. Sometimes things get broken. But God makes new things out of that. He creates new stuff out of the brokenness. You know, I remember one of my first sermons, actually the first sermon I ever gave. You know, I spent so much time getting it ready, you know. And the sermon was about this, basically. That in life, like when you're born, you get all these full tiles and everything else. But as I was kind of going through the message, I explained that as things happen in life, it's like those tiles get shattered. And so we end up with a lot of little pieces in life. And I can remember, like, at the end, I had this mosaic that I had built out of all the broken pieces, and the mosaic was basically a cross on a hill. And it was like, He takes all those broken pieces and He makes something beautiful out of it, you know? And it's like, I think that's such a picture of what life is about, that we allow Him to take those pieces, we allow Him to take the things that are broken, and in some cases need to be broken when we choose Jesus. They just need to break so that God can put them back together and make something beautiful out of it. And I can tell you on so many occasions, I have seen God take brokenness and make some of the most beautiful people you have ever seen before. Make some of the most beautiful masterpieces of people's lives that look nothing like they used to look. You know, like lives that look good in the world's eyes. You know, they had everything they ever wanted. But then when God restructured it and He took all those broken pieces and put them into something else, they look totally different. They actually give glory to Him. And they bring joy and peace like the people have never experienced before. And their life never doesn't look the same anymore. But it's one of the most beautiful things you'll ever see. You know, it's not only does He create this beautiful picture with your life, but He begins to create a new legacy for your life. You know, I don't know where our legacies were heading prior to Jesus, but they might have been heading toward having money and having everything you ever wanted. You know, but when it's all said and done, our legacy becomes a legacy that we leave for Him and not for us, you know. You know that when people look at our lives, they see Jesus, they don't just see Steve, they don't just see Troy, you know, they don't just see Mary Ann. They see Him. You know, when we are crucified with Christ, we have a new love now. You know, a new love for things that are different than the things we loved before. You know, we exchange our love for the people and the things and all the stuff we wanted, the lifestyle we thought we wanted. We exchange our love from that into to a love for God that goes beyond anything that we've ever experienced before. You know, the more we love God, the less we love the things we used to love, you know? You know, I don't know what you used to love in your life. I don't know what you idolized. I don't know what your God was prior to Jesus coming into your life. But we make gods out of all kinds of things, you know? Some people, especially in the world today, lifestyle is something that people almost make a god out of. You know, their love is for who they are now, their identity, even though no one seems to know what they are anymore. You know what I mean? But it's like, you know, the love that we have for those things, it ends up being eclipsed by the love that we have for God, and we find ourselves wanting to do things that God wants us to do, not the things we've always wanted to do. You know, I don't know, maybe we have not gotten to a point in our lives that we love Jesus so much that we have a new love, and there's like a new love in town, you know what I mean, that we have for him. And, you know, I want my love and I want our love collectively to be so much for Jesus that we don't have any love left in our hearts for the things that are of this world. Wouldn't it be nice? You know, but I know the reality of this is that there are things that we still love in this world, the things that we still hang on to, the things that we still have an affinity for. And those are the things that really need to be crucified. And if there's any challenge to the church today, the challenge is this. For the things that you love above and beyond Jesus Christ, it's time to crucify those things and let them go. It's time to nail them on to the point where you can't peel them back off anymore. It's time to quit hanging on and acting like you're giving them up and then pulling them back and then giving them up and pulling them back. I mean, nail them on with big old massive nails that you could never get out in a million years. Crucify them. You know, when we receive Jesus Christ and we are crucified with Christ, and we no longer live, but Christ lives in us, we have a new commitment. We're committed to Jesus. We're not just committed to ourselves anymore. I mean, I don't know what your life looked like or even looks like today, but what are you really committed to? You know, there are some things that if we're not careful, we'll get committed to things that really don't make any difference. You know, this thing about, like we have this homestead we're building, and I spend a lot of time on that, but I can tell you I'm not committed to that. You know, the whole idea of that is that people, as they have any interaction with us, they get to know Jesus Christ. That's the whole point. It has nothing to do with the homestead. It has nothing to do with the tree business. It has nothing to do with teaching. You know, it has nothing to do with being a librarian, you know. It's not about those things. It has nothing to do with being a doctor. It's not about that. We have a commitment, but our commitment is not to those things that come and go. Our commitment is to Jesus Christ. You know, our commitment is not to the expectations of other people. And somebody needs to hear that today. I know God told me to say that. There are some of you who live your life based on what people expect out of you, not what Jesus Christ expects out of you. And those things are opposed. At some point, we have to say, we choose to live for Christ and not live for these people. You know, but it's hard. It's hard because when you live your life for other people and you've done it for a long time, and you look for their acceptance, for someone to suggest that you actually crucify that and nail it to the cross is a scary thought, because you know with that comes some withdrawals. And you know what this withdrawals look like? They look like the displeasure of other people and people chewing you out because you're not all they want you to be. And that's not easy. But I can tell you it's worth it, because as you let that thing die, it's like cutting the plant off and Jesus begins to grow something brand new in you. That you're not living your life for other people, that you're living your life for Him now. And when you live your life for Him, it changes everything. Because there's peace in that. There's no peace in trying to live the life other people want you to live. You'll never get there. Have you ever noticed that they're never satisfied? You've never satisfied those people. They're never happy. You never do enough. You never do it right. At some point, you have to just say, you know what, I lay all that stuff down, and even if they chew me out, even if the withdrawals are bad, I choose to let it all go for the sake of Christ. That I choose to live my life for Him and not for just anybody else. And some of us, we live, but we're living for us. Because you've always had hopes and dreams, you've always had things you wanted to do, and your life has always been lived for you. To fulfill your dreams, to fulfill your desires, to fulfill everything you've ever wanted. Well, you know what? If you read The Purpose-Driven Life, you'll see in the first sentence of the book, it said, it is not about you. This whole thing is not about us. This is about Christ. Our commitment needs to be to Him and not to us. Do you know, Christ takes care of people better than we ever take care of ourselves. Every time. Every time. I mean, for everybody who has things that they really want to accomplish in life, if you will just lay those things down before God and say, God, you know what my hopes and dreams are. You know what I want for my job. You know what I need for my family. You know all these things that are weighing on me that I care about. I lay them all before you because I know that you provide better than I do. And as we do that and we lay these things down before God, watch God work. For the people who have jobs they've always wanted, for the careers they've always wanted, when you lay them down before Christ and you say, God, I want what you want, watch God move. Every time, watch God move. But the commitment has to be right. At some point, we have to crucify our want to provide for ourselves. Because if we think we've been doing it all along, we're in bad shape. For every blessing, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Every one of these things come from Jesus Christ himself. And until we understand that, we will always try to hang on to things. And the more we hang on to things and try to provide for ourselves, the more we reject the whole idea of crucifying that with Christ. And we find ourselves trying to live out our lives, and we're kind of like spiritually bipolar in that in one way, we say where we belong to Christ. In the other way, there's parts of our lives that he doesn't own. And then we somehow say that we belong to him. We don't belong to him until he has all of us. Right? So the commitment's got to be there. And you know what's really cool too is that when you are crucified with Christ is that you get to a new way of life. Life's not the same as it used to be. You know, you're not the one making it happen. You're not worrying yourselves to death anymore because you're not the one providing. I don't know about you. Are there any worriers in this place today at all? I mean, anybody at all who worries about stuff? Okay, we got one guy who worries, okay? Well, this is for you, okay? And me, and everybody who's lying in this place, okay? Because there's a bunch of liars in here. All right, thank you. That's boldness right there. That's what I'm talking about. It is a new way of life that we choose to live God's will, not our will. That means that for everything you think you want to do, that you wake up and you say, God, I submit this to you. This is what I want to do, but ultimately I want what you want, so I submit it to you, and whatever you say, I'll go do that. That's something different, right? That we get a new way of life in that it's not about my plans, but it's about God's plans. You know what? God knows where you're headed better than you do. People are like, really? No, really. Really, he does. He knows exactly where you're going. He knows what's best in your life. He knows all about your future and everything. You know what? God's dreams are better than our dreams. You know, I've had a lot of dreams of things I'd like to carry out and everything else, but you know what? Not only do I not know if it's the right dream, but I don't even know how to get there. And God knows both. He knows what the right dream is that we need to be having. He knows how to get there. He has everything. All we have to do is submit these things to him. Then, Lord, this is like a dream I have, something I'd like to do, but ultimately, I don't want to do anything you don't want me to do. So I just submit it to you. You know, I would never have picked this. This was not part of the dream, okay? Going all the way across the United States and then preaching. That was never part of my dream. It didn't show up anywhere. You know what my dream was? I was going to make a whole bunch of money. I don't know what I was going to do with it, but I was going to make some money. You know what I mean? I don't know. I hadn't had it all figured out yet. But that was the plan. But you know what? God's plans are so much better, and they're so much different, you know? I mean, this is not at all what I would have done, but it ends up that it was the best thing for me. And you know why it was the best thing for me? It wasn't the best thing for me because I'm like this really good preacher everybody likes listening to, because that's not, I don't know if that's even true. But here's why, because God needed to change me, and this is the best place he could have picked to change me. Because he knew that every time that I would look at the word and I would preach it, I would realize my own failures and my own faults. And he would speak to me through this. And I know that, I guess I had this idea that I had something that I needed to share with people, but it ends up that God wanted to fix me while he was fixing everybody else too. You know, I never would have known that if I had just done what I wanted to do. I never would have changed. I would have had my pockets filled with money and nowhere good to spend it. And you know what? I think it's really a picture of people today. I don't think I'm the only one. I think that there are a lot of things that God wants to change in us, but he can't change us if we don't take the path he's chosen for us. You know, he has very distinct places he wants to take us and things that he has for our life, and many times we never ask what he wants. We don't ask what he wants to do because we're too busy hanging on to those things. And Christ says, I just want you to crucify all that stuff, everything else you built. I want you to lay it down and submit it And then I want to take you the direction that I want to take you, and I want to take you on the path I created for you. I want to put dreams in your heart that come from me. I want to do these things in your life, and I want to direct you. I want to be the navigator of your life. But so many times there are things that we've held on to that we haven't let go of, that we just need to let go, and we need to crucify, and we need to put away from us and be done with it. You know, there are parts of our lives that we know are sin, that are wrong, and we hang on to them. There are things that we do that we know we shouldn't do. There are things that we think that we shouldn't think. There are things that we do that God wants to do. We've taken His place many times. And we feel the stress of it. And I'll tell you what, God didn't call His people to walk around in this life stressed and tore up over trying to be their own provider and their own savior. I mean, at some point we have to just say, God, I submit it all to you and I want to rest in you. I want you to direct this. And I'm going to let go of anything, no matter how much the withdrawals hurt. For all the things that I've wanted my whole life, things that I have let drive me for years, I'm going to lay it down and I'm going to take the withdrawals that come with it so that I can experience the new creation you made me to be. Let me tell you something. The new creation and the feeling of having this new life in Christ far exceeds the pain you'll experience that's temporary by letting go. And I know it doesn't feel that way sometimes. It feels like the pain is so excruciating when you let stuff go in your life that you can't imagine anything that would counteract that. And I can tell you, the blessing that God has waiting for you far exceeds any pain you'll ever experience. But you've got to be willing to push through it. You've got to be willing to crucify it. I can't think of a better word that Paul could have used to explain this than crucifixion. It's going to hurt really bad. But when you let go of it and you experience the blessing on the other side, you'll wonder why it took you so long. Let me tell you something. There's this new way of life that we experience through Christ. The thing that makes it different from any other new way of life is this, is that God gets the glory from your life. You don't. Now, I don't know if this hits anybody where you're living today. But I'll tell you, this hits me. Because there are some things in my life that I realized that I have never really crucified, but I gave them up verbally. But I never really nailed them on because I don't know if I was really ready to yet. Let me ask you something. What are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? A better day? Are we waiting for a time that's going to hurt a little less? There's no better day than today. Today's the day, right? For every one of these things, and I don't know what it is for you, but I know that the Holy Spirit has made it very clear to you exactly what that issue is today. I know that. And I'm saying this. Are you willing to crucify it, or are you going to keep living with one foot in each place? Are you ready to let it go? Because this is the deal. When you crucify it, it's saying, God, I do not want it today. I reject it in the name of Jesus. I don't want any part of it anymore. I don't want it to have a hold on my life, and I am finished with it. And like, I don't know what that issue is for you, but you do. If we could just bow our heads and close our eyes. This is your moment. Father God, you know what's going on in the hearts of your people today. They belong to you. You created them. Lord, you know what's going on in us that we need to let go, that we need to crucify. Lord, your scripture says that that we were crucified with you and that we no longer live, but you live in us. So Lord, today we crucify these things before you. And just take a moment right now, just between you and God, and say, God, this is the issue for me. This is what I let go of. Father God, today we nail it to where it can't come off anymore. That we're not trying to take it back, we're not hanging on to, we don't want it. Father God, we crucify this today, whatever this issue is for us. for the sake of our relationship with you. Father God, I thank you for your forgiveness. I thank you for your grace, and I thank you for your mercy. I thank you that you take broken pieces and you put them together. Lord, I thank you that you take us as broken and as misguided as we are sometimes, Lord, and breathe new life in us so we can be a new creation with a new love and a new commitment and a new way of life. Father God, we love you and thank you for all that you're doing in this place today. Lord, let your Holy Spirit just fall over us today, Lord. Fill us to overflowing so that we can be all that you called us to be. Lord, empower us to be the people of boldness and the people of courage that you called us to be. We just love you and thank you and praise you for everything you've done here today in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's continue with our heads bowed and eyes closed for just a moment. There may be some here today who have never accepted Jesus as your personal Savior. This may be your heart's desire today that you say, I'm tired of living my life for me, but I'm ready to live for Christ. If this is where you are today and you say, I'm ready to accept Christ into my life, if you would lift your hand today, thank you. Any others today? I just want to pray this prayer with you, just between you and God. Father God, today I give you my life. I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins and was resurrected for my freedom. Today I thank you for salvation. I thank you that my eternity is sealed in you. Father, give me ears to hear your Holy Spirit and give me the strength to be obedient as I walk out this life with you. Lord, I thank you and praise you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. If you made a decision for Christ today, I'd like you to see Pastor Linda, if you'd lift your hand. She has something she'd like to give you today. I want to read to you this passage. I feel like I'm supposed to read this to you today. It's out of Titus, chapter 2, verse 11 through 14. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself up for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. For everyone here who thinks that it's too hard, or you're not able to carry it out, you have received everything you need to be able to walk out this life the way God wants you to. So I just want you to know you are empowered, you have everything you need, and you can do this. What we talked about today is not just a one-time thing, it's a way of life. And so I really want to challenge you to take hold of it today. God bless all of you.